This episode of the Spider Bites podcast is sponsored by TeePublic.com. TeePublic.com is an online merchandise store that showcases indie artists' design products from tees to totes to tapestries to whatever. They have thousands of designs, the prices are super affordable, and every purchase supports an independent artist. All of us at the Spider Bites podcast are picking out our favorite designs, and you can see what we like this week. Whether it's the Dabbing Husky or Thanos the Infinity Stone Bay, you can find and purchase these designs on t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, or even phone cases. Just visit our store at teepublic.com/stores/spider-bites-podcast. Look, I know it's a mouthful, but the link will be in the description of the episode so you can find it there and see for yourself. And thanks again to teepublic.com for sponsoring this episode.
They're like, you just kind of sit for like 7 hours, and then for that last like out and like pretend to work, and for that last, and you just like answer emails, and then in the last hour, you just got to do your work. It's like, okay, but what are the emails about, and what is the work about? All you told me is that, like, what I already do, pretty much.
Right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Spider Bites podcast, where every week we answer questions about our lives in hopes that you can relate to it just a little bit. This is episode 179. I am one of your hosts, Spider, and I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Ashley. How you doing today, Ashley?
I'm doing all right. It was a pretty average day, I would say.
That's good.
There was a couple things. It was nothing like crazy, but so I was walking home from work, and I saw like a little, like one of those little like plastic kind of figures of a frog on the ground. And I was like, oh, look at that. And I picked it up and I was like, well, this is mine now. And then like a few feet away, there was a turtle one. I was like, what the heck? Where did these come from? So I have those just sitting over there on a shelf. Also found a feather. That was fun. Because I like feathers. I walked Toby, I walked my neighbor's dog, so I was watching her house, and then when I was walking back from her house, or no, when I was walking to her house first, I found two pennies on the ground face up, and then when I was walking back, one of the neighbors across the street, their dog was loose, and it was on my side of the road, so they're like, can you grab my dog? And I was like, I'll try, I don't know. Luckily it did, it came right up to me, so I just grabbed its collar, and then the owner came up and grabbed it. So there's a lot that went on today, but like work was average.
I was saying, for a pretty average day, that was some pretty non-average things.
Yeah. Yeah, that all happened after work. It feels like it happened like a completely different day.
Yeah.
How have you been?
I've been okay. I've been managing heat. It's still been in the 80s, but it's still early October, so of course it's still going to be fairly warm in the south. But unfortunately, I can't use my air conditioner right now, so I am burning up in my apartment. I had my windows open earlier, and it was actually all right earlier, but I don't know. It's just like, even as, later as the day went on, it just started getting warmer inside. But no, I came back after the storm, after I got back from Canada, and I saw that there was a spot on the ceiling in my living room. So it looked it looks like that's some water damage. So the landlord sent out an email and said, hey, if you know there's any, you come back to your apartment and you see any damage or anything, email me, let me know. And so I took a picture of it and I replied to the email with it. And I was like, you know, I had been watching it, and it didn't look like it was getting any bigger because we were still getting a lot of rain after that. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it's not that big of a deal. And then just ignored it, didn't pay any attention. I was like, oh, I emailed him, you know, whenever he gets back to me, he'll get back to me. Didn't mind it. But I got off my computer yesterday. I got to change that. My Amazon device, I changed the name from Alexa to what I just said. And so now I change it because it kept going off when I wouldn't say Alexa. I was like, well, if I change it to that, then it wouldn't do it as often. I didn't realize how often I say that word.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I remember when my sister got an Alexa for Christmas last year. I think it was last year. And, well, I have a sister named Alyssa. Mm-hmm. That's already dangerously close. Sometimes, you know, you'd say Alyssa and it'd go off. Mm-hmm. There was one time, I think it was my sister Alyssa, actually, who was just saying, like, talking about it, because, you know, I was brand new.
Yeah.
And she, like, whispered, like, cupped her hand and went, Alexa, like, just talking about her, and it was, like, it went off, and it was like, darn.
Yeah, because it has that whisper function, so where if you whisper it, it'll whisper back at you.
Yeah, that was fun. It was like, oh my god! But my sister keeps it up in her room, so it's not really a problem. But then when she was first setting up, it was downstairs, so it was like...
Oh, yeah.
It was a struggle.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But yeah, so I was closing my laptop from work yesterday, and I noticed that there were water droplets on the back of my laptop. So I was thinking, did I spill something? Did I splash something? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And I look up and the ceiling's dripping. So I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I call a landlord and I said, hey, just to let you know, I got a leak. Some water coming through my ceiling. He's like, okay. He's like, send me a picture of it. Let me know. So I sent him another picture of it. And I was comparing the two pictures that I took, and the water spot had gotten a lot bigger. And, you know, it's on the ceiling. I don't really find myself looking up at my ceiling all that often. Yeah. So I just didn't really pay any attention to it. And so what was I doing yesterday? Michelle was streaming yesterday, and I was just, because I have a wooden table sitting in my living room, so I like a kitchen table, dining room table, whatever. And so I'm like, okay, I don't want the water to damage the table, so I had a plastic bin that I just set on top of the table for the water to drip down into the bin. And so the water is dripping into it, and so, you know, every time the water hits, the splash makes a noise. So I remember I was sitting here in my room playing a game, and I'm just thinking to myself, how long is it going to take for me to drown out this noise and get used to it to where it's not annoying me anymore?
Yeah.
And it just so happened, because my air conditioner is on automatic, once it hits a certain temperature, it shuts off. And then it hit that temperature, it cooled down the apartment, and then it shut off. And so I was sitting here and I was listening to it. I was like, it stopped dripping. So I'm like, okay, so obviously something's going on with the air conditioner and it's making the pipe strip or whatever. So I'm like, okay, well, to prevent any more damage or any more water accumulating from up there, I'll just turn the AC off. So I've had the AC off since last night and then all day today. And I think the last time I looked at my thermostat, it's at 84 degrees.
Oof.
Yeah.
So do you have any fans?
I do. I have a ceiling fan in my bedroom and in the living room, but the ceiling fan in my bedroom is not all that powerful. So it's not really giving me a lot of relief. And Michelle asked me too. She was like, you don't have like a portable fan or anything? I was like, no, I don't have a portable fan. She was like, well, why not? I'm like, well, because I have central AC. I didn't think I was going to need a portable fan.
That's fair.
But my landlord called me back today because he was calling me to let me know that he was going to have a roofing guy come out tomorrow. And I told him, I was like, well, I'm glad you called, because I meant to call him today, but I got so busy wrapped up in work. But I was like, I'm glad you called because I think it might be the air conditioner. He was like, well, why do you think that? And I told him, you know, because I shut it off and it hasn't dripped since then. He was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to call a AC repair guy. I was like, yeah. So I don't know if the AC repair guy is going to come tomorrow. Come tomorrow or not. But if he doesn't, then I might have to just go out and get a fan.
Yeah, that's true. Because you don't want to be stuck in the warmth.
No.
least your landlord listened to you about that. Because my friend at the store where she works had something similar, but, you know, at the store, where she noticed, you know, that there would be a leak sometimes coming from the ceiling. And she was telling her boss about it and saying, like, she's like, I think it's the AC because, you know, it happens, like, it drips when the AC, like, right when it turns off or, you know, like, whatever. And he's like, well, it happens when it rains. She's like, it doesn't, though. It happens when the AC turns off.
Right.
And he just didn't listen to her. And now, finally, after at least a month or more, they're getting the AC fixed because someone reported them for, like, old and stuff. And she's like, I've been saying. So now that finally they're in trouble with, like, people, they're, like, getting it fixed. And she's like, why, guys, why? So, at least your landlord's listened.
Yeah, I'm definitely appreciative of that. Because while it was dripping yesterday, and I didn't realize that it was air conditioning, it was just dripping, I'm just slowly looking at it, and I see that there's a crack in the ceiling. So I'm just like, I hope the ceiling doesn't fall in. I was like, that's the last thing I need right now is for the ceiling to fall in.
That's always a fear of mine. Like, because my ceiling in the living room, you know, it, like, crumbles away a little bit when, like, it rains. So, especially lately, it's been, like, raining a lot. Not really this week. It's raining right now. Well, it was, like, sprinkling. But, like, last week it rained a lot. And then I think, like, tomorrow it's supposed to rain. But over times when it rains a lot, it, you know, crumbles more than usual. So it's always a fear of mine of, like, day, is the ceiling just gonna just cave in? Because, boy, that would be fun. I know it happened to my childhood home. It happened to one of the rooms in the back, so we just didn't go in that room anymore. and my friend said it happened to her childhood home before, but they got theirs fixed. But hers was just like, just don't go in that room anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, always a fear. Every time I hear, like, any sort of sound that, you know, houses make sounds. I hear it and I'm like, is that it? Is it now?
Is it happening? Is it happening?
It's like every time it, like, is really windy, I was like, is the tree in the backyard going to come down? Am I going to die tonight?
Yeah. Like,
it's always one of those fun things that's in the back of your mind when, like, something like that, like, I heard wind. I heard sound in the ceiling.
This is it. This is when it all comes tumbling down.
So that's always fun. But, you know, we're good for now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you don't have to worry about that happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you. I know we are the type of people to order things on the internet. When it comes to you buying something, whether it's from, like, a big name online retailer, or if it's something like just a small retailer, like something, just small business. But just when it comes to ordering products online, how important to you are the reviews? Do you, like, solely base a purchase off of the reviews that something has, or do you just use it just to kind of get a little bit more informed about something that you are already set on purchasing?
For me, it kind of depends on what it is. There's a lot of times if it's from somewhere that I bought things from before, like sometimes if I buy clothes from Torrid or something, then I don't really look at reviews. I kind of just will buy it. I don't care too much about that kind of thing because I pretty much know what to expect. Unless it's something specific where I'm looking at, like, for the most part, I kind of know what size I am there. But if it's something different or whatever, I'll check the size or, like, check what people say about the size. Definitely if I order clothes from, like, I try not to. I'd much rather would try things on, but especially with COVID when you like couldn't try things on. I will always check the reviews to see what people say about like true to size. Like over the summer, I bought a bathing suit. So that I made sure to do a lot of research when it came to like the reviews to be like, is it good quality? Is it true to size? Should you go bigger or smaller? You know, like all those kind of things. And there are some times where I'm just like, whatever, I'm not going to check the reviews. I'll just buy it. But if it's like, if it's just like a, I don't know, I can't even, like a figure or something or any sort of like official like K-pop merch or something, it's like, well, I'll just buy it. But pretty much anything from Amazon, I'll check the reviews for. To make sure that it's like accurate to what I'll be getting. Because there have been times, I can't think of any specifics, but I know there have been times where I have not bought something because a majority or a good amount of the reviews were bad, or at least like bad enough that I didn't think it was worth it to risk it and hope that it wasn't the case for me. But I can't think of any specifics because I haven't really bought anything like that recently. What about you?
I would say it definitely is kind of the same for me. When it comes to clothing, God, I can't remember the last time I actually bought clothes. I think I'm maybe overdue to buy some clothes. But yeah, not necessarily the reviews per se for clothes, but we know for some clothing stores online, they have like the option for you to select, oh, this fits, you know, it's the size, it fits a little too small, or the size runs large, or it's true to, you know, true to size, all that other kind of stuff. So I'll look at that just to see, you know, how people say, you know, how something fits, but not necessarily reviews so much. When it comes to like electronics and stuff, I'll sit and scour the reviews before I buy any kind of electronics. And it's kind of hard because I think a person's default reaction to something when it's not good is to leave a review. But if they, you know, if you get something, and not that you're amazed or you're wowed by it, but if you get something and it works properly the way you're expecting it to work, you, most people necessarily don't leave reviews. So, you know, sometimes things can get inundated with bad reviews. So I kind of just try to like balance it out, see like if something has a whole bunch of negative reviews, to see if what the reviews are, if they're like going, if they're the same thing, like if all these negative reviews are saying like, oh, this this keyboard, you know, broke on me after like 3 weeks, the keys stopped responding, or the wire came loose. You know, if everybody has the same complaint, they're like, okay, well, then that's obviously a defect in the product. Versus, you know, just something that's maybe was just a coincidence. You know, a couple people had this thing, but for the majority, you know, it wasn't a thing for them. But yeah, because like I bought a few of the Funko Pop figures, and like for those, I'll just, you know, just get them from the official Funko Pop site, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is what they do, this is what they're known for. I don't need to necessarily look at reviews for those.
Yeah, I first bought from when I was looking into buying anime figures. I did research by looking at like reviews on the place specifically, and then like certain figures and stuff, because like just from seeing TikToks and stuff, it seems like Funimation is not Crunchyroll, I think, maybe it was Funimation, one of the two, I can't think of it, I haven't ordered from either of them myself, but one of the two, it seems like, isn't great with like making sure things get to you, not like in a beat up box. And I know that's not necessarily their fault, but if it happens a lot, it's kind of like, well, maybe you just don't pack it well enough. Or I've seen like mix ups where people like, oh, I ordered this figure, but I got this figure. I didn't want this. But I have ordered from Good Smile Company and Solaris. And Good Smile Company is one of those ones that it's pretty much like a name brand where you kind of expect to buy figures, whether it be from the Japanese one or the US one. Because they're the ones who like will put out figures and stuff. So that one I didn't really worry about too much. But Solaris is like a third party site. So that one I did like so much research into to be able to make sure like I got an actual figure. Like it's a real figure, it's not like a knockoff, and that it arrives and it's good condition. And so far I've ordered from them twice.
Okay.
At least twice, maybe three times, and it's been perfectly fine. So I'm definitely, so far I've had good experience with Solaris, but I did so much research. From like, I looked at TikToks, I looked at online reviews, all sorts of different places in order to find good, reputable places to buy anime figures. Especially because I know, like Nendoroids are like, there's plenty of knockoffs out there. I don't have any Nendoroids. I want Nendoroids. I've always wanted Nendoroids, even before I started collecting anime figures, because I always thought they were really cute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a single one. I want, obviously, Dazai's and Chuya's, but those ones are sold out on Good Smile Company, which is, like, the only place that I can guarantee they are there. And then they are available on Solaris, so I've thought about getting them there, but they're, like, at least $100-something dollars, so I just haven't yet. I planned on doing it eventually, but then I kind of always forget. but actually I think I did only order from I ordered from Good Smile Company twice. How many figures do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so I've ordered twice from Solaris and twice from Hold on, I'm confused. Okay. I got both of my Dazai figures from Solaris. I got Tagawa from Solaris. Yeah, okay, so I've ordered three times from Solaris. And I've ordered twice from Good Smile Company because I got Atsushi from Good Smile Company, which I made a mistake because I ordered, it wasn't available on the US site at the time, so I ordered from the Japanese one. And they don't have the right thing as Solaris, which is something I looked at reviews for. For Solaris, you have to, like, when you buy a figure, because right now they're not doing certain shipping because of, like, COVID restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of, like, there's, like, three options, but one of them, at least one, they're not doing. And so I go with the third one, which is the most expensive one. It's not, like, super expensive, but it's out of the options. It's the most expensive because it guarantees you that it still gets to you at a normal time, like, over months, and you get a tracking number. A lot of times it's just an estimation, and then they will end up sending you an email being like, hey, are things ready to ship, but you need to pay this last little bit. And it's usually less than $10, and they send you like a link that you'd go right to it. So then you go and you're buying, you know, whatever, like you do it as a checkout, but it's just paying that extra like $10 or whatever for shipping.
Okay.
And then within a couple days, they'll end up sending it out. So I've learned that. I've expected that. And my figures get here once they ship, get here within, like, the normal time, a couple days. Oh. Even though they're coming from Japan, so cool. But they didn't have that option. They didn't have any options on the Good Smile Japanese one. So it took forever to get that. I can't remember how long it was. It was to the point where I was like, all right, I know they said it'd take a while, but, like, I know it said, like, hey, you can't have your money back and stuff. Like, I'm about to do that, see if I can or something, just in order to maybe buy it from, you know, like, Solaris or something. But eventually I did get it. And I pre-ordered my Chuya figure from Good Smile US this time because I pre-ordered it. The other ones were all, they weren't pre-ordered. And I think it says Chuya came out in September. And I don't have it yet. I haven't heard anything, but back when I pre-ordered Octagawa from Solaris, it took at least like a couple weeks to a month or something after the after it was like released in order to get it. And usually it takes longer when you order things like with Bangtan, when you order things from the US shop instead of the Korean shop, it takes longer because it's the same thing. They just send it from Korea to America or Japan to America, but because it's not going directly to you, it like takes longer. It's stupid. I don't know. Like with Bangtan, it's a whole stupid thing where if you, a lot of times I'll just try and buy from the worldwide site instead of the US one, because if you buy, they'll usually get released at least a couple weeks to a month earlier, or you'd get it earlier than if you ordered from the US shop, which is the whole, like, because they still make it in Korea and then send it to America. Mm-hmm. So why order from the US site instead of the worldwide one if it's the same thing? And they're like always like basically the same price. Like there's like a few dollars or cents difference usually.
Okay.
Like doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever actually left a review on anything ever. Even though, like, I rely on other people's reviews for so many things.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever left one. Even, like, when you order something, bought a couple things off of, like, eBay. Which, obviously, I check the reviews for there before I buy from someone. Or, like, Etsy before I buy some things. Or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever left a review on anything.
I think I've left a couple reviews on some RT stuff that I've bought. But when it comes to like Amazon, I couldn't think of the company name for a second. Anytime I'll buy something from them and they'll send an email, oh, how would you rate this product? And like, I'll leave a rating, but not necessarily like a full typed out review.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I get plenty of emails that are like, hey, review this product you bought. And I'm like, no, why would I do that? I don't know why. I just don't do it. I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
I've never been like super disappointed in anything either, though. I can think of.
So,
I don't know. I'm sure if I was ever like, wow, this was really bad, I'd probably leave a review and be like, hey, this is really bad. But yeah, I don't think I've had that. So it's just kind of whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've been so disappointed in something that I left a bad review about it. I don't think I have either. I know that I've had some stuff where I've had to like make a, I guess like a complaint. The old laptop that I had, when my MacBook broke, I bought it and the charging cable that they sent to me didn't work. So I wrote to them and told them that, you know, the charging cable didn't work. So they sent out another one and, you know, that's fine. You know, their customer service was good. The LED lights that I have in my room, they're supposed to be Wi-Fi enabled, but even after, cause I've had them probably for almost about a year now. And, I had the issue before where the Wi-Fi for it stopped working. And so I emailed them, said, hey, the Wi-Fi is not working. And so they like troubleshooted some stuff. Like, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried that? And I was like, okay, did all of that. And the Wi-Fi started working again. And I'm like, all right, cool. And it stopped working again. And then it just, you know, I didn't bother with it. I just didn't use the Alexa to activate the lights or anything. If I wanted to turn them on, I turned them on myself. If I wanted to change the color or, you know, turn them off or whatever, I just used the app on my phone and did all of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just, after a while, it just started bothering me. I was like, I would like to be able to, you know, use my voice to turn them off, mm-hmm. or change the color or whatever. And so I wrote to them again, said, hey, Wi-Fi is not working. And then I like preemptively said, I've tried all the different steps, you know, to reset it, uninstall it, reinstall it. I've done all of that. And said, okay, well, can you send me your order number just like for proof that I bought it? And so I sent them the mm-hmm. order number. And so they sent me a replacement set of lights. And so I got them and I was like, do I want to put these up? Because then I have to, not necessarily that I have to take the ones that I have down, but I already have all the wires like affixed to the wall. Everything's like strung up properly. And so for mm-hmm. me to have to take them down, I don't know. I was just, at this point, it's more yeah. work than I bargained for. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll figure something out. Just do something else with it, or create, like, put the light somewhere else. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But basically, I got a new yeah. set of lights that I'm not using right now.
Yeah. I know there was one time when I got some colored contacts. Before I found out that I can't use contacts in one of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And the pair that I got, one of them had, like, a big scratch in the middle. Like, there's no way you could wear it. Like, I had a big scratch. And so we had to, like, take pictures of it and, like, email it and be like, hey, there's a big scratch. Look at it. It's clearly visible. And they were like, oh, no. And then they sent us a replacement pair. So it's like, cool. So it's like, technically, I have three working ones that you could use.
Yeah.
Because that fourth one is just has a big scratch down the middle. It just, I don't know. Like, as soon as we saw it, it was like, oh, it definitely shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, like, this is not gonna work.
But, you know, they were cool about it or whatever, and I'd obviously sent a replacement pair pretty quickly and stuff, so I was like, alright, awesome. But yeah, I don't know, I'm not really, like, I'd have to ask my mom if she ever, like, does anything. I know, like, my friend's mom will, well, she talks about it. I don't know if she actually does it, where she'll be like, I would complain about that. It's like, but do you actually? I don't know. But interesting. Yes, I use reviews all the time. pretty much all the time. But I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So, I know that, like, you know, you do things, like, different work than I do, but I was wondering if you ever, like, unintentionally or intentionally, kind of give yourself homework that has to do with, like, work. I find myself doing this a lot, but it's usually pretty simple. Because I've done it, you know, I've looked up crafts or, like, activities that can be done before. I don't have to, but, you know. Or a lot of times, what ends up happening most of the time is we end up coloring some sort of, like, book. It's in, like, papers. Like, there'll be, like, two pages of the book, like a small rectangle book, on one normal page, because, you know, otherwise it's a waste of paper. So I end up, I don't finish it at work. Sometimes I'll just do it, like, at work, like, during nap time. I will cut around the edges and then cut them in the middle, you know, so that I can actually make it into a little book and then staple it together and they could take it home. Mm-hmm. And because I just did that, I have some I need to do still. I have, like, two left. But I did it not that long ago, and it took me forever because I got so sick of it so quickly. Because it wasn't, well, okay, so they started off as, like, they were apple shapes is what they were on paper. And then we put, like, just dots with paint on them for whatever number was in the corner. So if there's a one, you know, just one dot, whatever. Easy. Yeah. And they were just apple shapes. Like, there was no, like, rectangular box around it or anything. And so I could have just cut it in half or cut them into smaller squares or boxes and left it. And I tried that, but I didn't like the way it looked. I couldn't make it even enough. And so I was like, you know what? I'll just cut around the apple shape. And it took forever doing that because it was so much more precise than just cutting away edges like in a straight line. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a little leaf and a little stem that like I tried to like get around. And so it was, oh my goodness, doing that for 8 kids. And each page had 11 because it was 10 numbers plus the front cover. Oh my goodness, it took forever.
Sounds like a lot.
It took me days. And I was like, I did this to myself. Like, I didn't have to do this. I could have just cut it into boxes. And who cares if they were even, you know? Yeah. This isn't something that the parents are going to keep forever. But once I did that one, I was like, well, I've stuck myself to doing this now. And I did like the way they looked. They were really cute. But boy, was it a lot of work. I just kept thinking, like, why did I do this to myself? And I'd send pictures, updates to my friend. And I was like, I'm almost done. They're like, hey, do you want to come cut these for me? She's like, no. I'm like, oh, please.
No, I'm good.
So that's the one that really comes to mind recently with really giving myself homework, which, you know, still wasn't hard. It was just time-consuming.
Yeah, just time-consuming.
And I got bored of it very quickly, but what about you?
Not necessarily homework, like doing work after work, but I know I've done things to give myself extra work unintentionally. There was one agency where they wanted to be really involved in their participant process on who, because when we started doing virtual training, invitations to the class, the training class, would go out to the participants individually. And so they wanted to know who responded to the invitations, if they registered. And then once the time for the training class came, they wanted to know who showed up in the class. And so I could have easily just sent an email with a list of people saying, okay, this person registered, this person didn't. This person showed up to the class, this person didn't. Or everybody showed up to the class. You know, especially if it was just a all or nothing type thing, I'd say everybody showed up and be done with it. But me trying to, you know, be customer service friendly and, you know, be efficient and give the agency like detailed information so they don't have to have any questions, I created an entire spreadsheet with all the list of everyone who was supposed to be registered for the class in different columns, whether or not the person has registered, the date that this spreadsheet is current, and then once the training started, did this person show up? Yes or no. Did this person show up? Yes or no. For every single person in the class, and I think there were like 20 people in the class. And this was the first class of, I think they had 4 or 5 different sessions that they had scheduled, like for the next few months. So after I did that the first time, they were like, oh, we love that spreadsheet. Can we get another one of those every single time? And then it happened to be one of the classes that I wasn't teaching. And so my coworkers got stuck with it. And so when they responded to the agency, they were like, oh, well, before we got this spreadsheet, can we have a spreadsheet like that? And I'm like, we don't do that. So my coworkers came back to me like, we know you're trying to help the agency out, but you know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, go above and beyond and do all of that stuff for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and after I did, I was like, okay, yeah, this was a lot of unnecessary work that I didn't need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always fun when you do one of those things like, you know, I chose to do this. And it looks nice. But boy, did I not need to. Is it a lot of work?
You're just in the middle of doing it, and you're like, you did this to yourself. This is all on you. Like, nobody told you to do this. This is all on you.
I think about that all the time. We're like, you know, I'm never even told that I have to, like, cut out these papers and make them into little books. I just do that because I think it looks nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's pretty easy. It doesn't, sometimes it's kind of time consuming, but it's easy to just do it while I'm like, you know, watching something that I don't really have to watch or whatever. But yeah, it's, those apples really killed me. But yeah, it's always kind of nice to see the way the books look, even though nobody will care.
It's not that they won't care. They just may not necessarily notice all the time and attention and effort that went into it.
Yeah, that's what I think about a lot when, like, parents get these, like, little books because, you know, I definitely never thought of it until I was the one who was cutting up the books.
Right.
But especially those apples. Man, I must have a picture of them. I must have saved one, I hope. So I can, like, send you some down and be like, look, they're cute. They did not care, I'm sure. But I mean, I'm sure they'd, like, appreciate it. Like, they're probably like, oh, look, a cute little apple book. But, you know, yeah, that's the end of it. But, yeah, I can't necessarily think of any other time where I, like, gave myself homework. Except for, it's not homework from, like, work. But I know there's been a handful of times where I'm like, oh, I'll search for that thing at home and bring it in tomorrow. Like, I've done that with one of the books that I have on. I have two. They're the same book. One I cut pictures out of, though. But they're, like, a history of, like, the school and church where I work. Because when I was in school there, that was my 8th grade research project. That's why I had cut pictures out of one of them, was because I had to. And that way, the first one, I could put the pictures on my backboard. And I've been talking about it forever. It's like, oh, man, I'll bring it in. I have to, like, look for it. Like, I don't remember where it is. That was just something that, I mean, I guess technically it was homework.
Yeah.
And eventually I found it and brought it in, but now I don't remember where I put it again. like, oh, man, I'll have to bring it in and show you. Like,
yeah.
For, like, the second time, if I could find it again. But, you know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my work, I don't really have anything, like, too serious when it comes to, like, giving myself more work or bringing homework home.
Yeah. Yeah, that was,
can't, like, bring the kid home. That's, I true, have babysat for one of the families before. It was like 2 years ago or something. So I guess that's technically giving myself homework. That's
technically homework, yeah.
Yeah. But that's about it.
No, I remember when I was a kid, like, one of the high points of being an adult for me was not having to worry about homework. So I always hoped that I had a job where I didn't have to bring work home, because, you know, it's one of those tropes on the family sitcom shows or just family drama shows or whatever, that the dad or the mom, they're this high powered executive and they're, you know, working in an ad firm or they're a lawyer or whatever their office job is, and they bring work home and they're sitting at the table over all these papers and they're so frustrated and all this other kind of stuff. I was like, I never want to have a job where I have to do that. It's like, I'm going to leave homework at school, and then once I get a job, once I clock out and I'm done, it's like I can just be off and just do whatever it is that I want to do and not have to worry about work.
Exactly. Hell, that's one of those things that I've always wondered of, like, because neither of my parents, or anyone I know, at least, has, except for, like, you know, people like teachers, obviously. So some of my coworkers who have to come up with lesson plans or...
Yeah.
I don't, like, my coworkers that I really talk to every day, they don't have, like, homework they have to grade or anything. Like, older teachers, you know, like, middle school and stuff, like, they have to grade papers. But with us, it's just kind of like, you know, we can color this, like, our program is just kind of starting you off in school. We don't have anything to grade. Even, like, the room right next door to us, they don't really have anything that they grade. Once you get down to kindergarten is where it starts to kind of be things that might need to be graded. But so pretty much just like lesson plans or like the coming up with activities or crafts or whatever. It's the only thing that's kind of like outside of work. But other than that, like, I don't really have, like, I just always wondered about those kind of things. I'm like, what do these people bring home? Like, what are they doing? Like, I don't get it. Like, if you're a teacher, I get it, because you have to make lesson plans or grade things. But, like, anything else, like you said, like, an exec or something, it's like, what are they doing? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Something.
That's all I got.
Something that they couldn't get done during the workday, I guess.
I don't know.
Which I can kind of see, especially now that I'm working from home and there's so many meetings that we have to go to now. Mm-hmm. So I can see how if you do have that kind of position where you're always stuck in meetings, how your other work may not necessarily get done. So I can see it. And then if you have to have it done by a certain day, you have deadlines that you have to meet. So then, yeah, you might have to bring some stuff home. But yeah, nope, don't want to do that, which I say that now and I might have to end up being like that. My supervisor, tomorrow's her last day. And so with me just recently getting a promotion, I have been assigned the task of, I lost the word just that quick. Acting supervisor. That's the word I was looking for. So, until we find a permanent supervisor, I'll be the acting supervisor. And so that entails a lot more responsibility, going to a lot more meetings. I now have a standing 7:30 a.m. meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays now, which I absolutely hate.
Yeah.
And so now I have to be the one to conduct most of these meetings as well. So now I'm in charge of the whole training team. So that should be fun. Going to be a lot more work.
You know, I've seen these TikToks before of people who try to answer the question of, like, what people who work in an office, like, what they do. Because they never answer the question, really. They're like, I work in an office, I'll tell you what they do. They're like, they just kind of sit for, like, 7 hours, and then for that last, like, out and, like, pretend to work, and for that last, and you just, like, answer emails, and then in the last hour, you just gotta do your work. And it's like, okay, but what are the emails about, and what is the work about? All you told me is that, like, what I already do, pretty much.
Right.
Like, you're not answering anything. I mean, I guess it kind of depends on where you are and what your position is, but they're just like, yeah, office work, emails, and pretend to work, and then work. And it's like, yeah, I know that much. That's all I know. That's why we're like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, why do you answer so many emails? What are the questions? But, yeah. I never have seen someone who has posted one of those TikToks and is satisfied by answer. Because that's always what it is.
The question still remains.
Always.
But if you work in one of those positions, then you can answer Ashley's question as to what exactly it is that you do and why are there so many damn emails? That's a question that I have myself. But you can reach out to us. You can find us on social media on our Tumblr page at spiderbitespodcast.tumblr.com. There's an Ask Us Anything link right there in the middle of the page. You can click on that. Or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Spider Bites Podcast. And that's Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. You can send us a message there. Or you can find us on Twitter at Spider Bites Cast. Any one of those ways you can get in touch with us. Or if you want to forego social media because it's having issues, like earlier this week when Facebook was down. That's crazy. I meant to talk about that and we just...
I forgot
didn't even mention it. But you can email us at spiderbitespodcast@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, anything that you want to add to anything that we've talked about in the episode, we just love to hear from you all. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow the Spider Bites Podcast on just about any podcast streaming service. We're on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Podchaser, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, you name it. There is a very good chance that we are on it. But if you do follow us, we ask if you can leave us a rating, leave us a review. It's a good free way to help the show. The ratings help us move up those podcast charts. So that way, if someone is looking for a new podcast to listen to, they're more likely to see our show on that list. And so once they listen, hopefully they'll leave more ratings and then we'll move higher up the charts. More listeners, more chances for you to communicate with other people who also like the show. But the reviews help us because it lets us know what you think about the show, the things you enjoy, the things you think we can improve upon, things you want to hear more of, things you want to hear less of. But basically, we take those reviews and we cater the show to you, our listeners, so we can produce a better quality show for you. If you don't use any podcast streaming services, but you still want to keep up with the show, you can find us on our website at spiderbites.buzzsprout.com. It's an online audio player. You can access it from any browser, wherever you can get on the internet. Just scroll down to whichever episode you want to listen to, click play, and it'll start playing there right there from your browser. Whether you're on a laptop or a PC, a phone or a tablet, you can take the show wherever you go. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did anyway. If you want to get in touch with Ashley and myself individually, our social media links will be in the description of the show, along with links to everything else that I just mentioned.
So that Facebook thing.
Yeah, that was insane. It came out of nowhere. I was messaging Michelle. And I was talking to my brother and my cousins on Facebook Messenger. And then all of a sudden, messages stopped going through. I was like, yeah. Okay. And so, of course, you go straight to the internet to see if anybody's saying anything about it. And lo and behold, yeah, Facebook's down. Facebook Messenger mm-hmm. is down. WhatsApp is down. Instagram is down. I was like, oh boy, something happened. Yeah. And then everybody was talking about because the whole thing with the Facebook whistleblower came out and like, did Facebook get hacked? Did they take it down because of the whistleblower thing? Did something happen? Like, you know, what's really going on? And then I think they said it happened Monday, but I didn't hear about it until I think like Wednesday. Well, Wednesday was yesterday. That Twitch got hacked.
Did they?
Yeah, Twitch got hacked. And so they said that a lot of streamers' information, they put it like on up for sale on some like 4chan post or something like that, and they released like the last month's payouts for a lot of the top earners on Twitch, so you could see how much that they got paid last month. And so the memes, of course, started going out across the internet. It's like, oh, streamers are getting paid. It's like, oh, you guys get paid, and you're like all small streamers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But and so then the conversation started coming up again about, you know, Twitch streamers should be getting paid more for the amount of entertainment that they give and all this other kind of stuff. But yeah, so it was crazy. It's a wild week for the internet.
Oh yeah. There was I saw it on Tumblr, so take it as you will. Didn't do any research. But I saw a thing that was talking about the Facebook thing, and it said, you know, the servers are down, and then they couldn't get into the server room because you had to get in with like one of those pad things, or whatever, that you'd like put a key card up to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that ran on the same system as like Facebook and stuff. So they couldn't get into there. And then, you know, there is a key. You could have used a key to get in, but there, I guess, was only like one guy who had the key, and they couldn't get a hold of him because at Facebook, in order to message people, like other people in the company, you have to use Facebook Messenger.
Sounds about right.
But since Facebook was down, couldn't message the guy, and because they're so like, you have to use Facebook Messenger, no one had anyone's number, so they couldn't contact the dude who had a key to get in there, so they had to like break into their own server room and order to fix it.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's true, but that's really funny if it is. Because Facebook is down, it was their own ruin.
Yeah. So that might be one side of it. What I heard, and I heard this from TikTok. So we might have two. Yeah. So we might have two sides of the same story. But they were speaking on it from a more technical standpoint, where they said that the Facebook servers, what happened was they're supposed to like refresh some job for the servers every so often. And basically the job didn't get refreshed, so Facebook forgot where Facebook was on the internet. So basically, the URL didn't point directly to the server, and since all everything is connected, so Facebook didn't point to Facebook, which points to Instagram, which points to Messenger, mm-hmm. which points to WhatsApp. So whatever didn't get updated, so it's like, I want to go to Facebook. And the internet basically like, we don't know where Facebook is.
Yeah, that's funny. I did see someone who had a good point, and they said, hey, based on like this, where like there were so many things down because of one server rumor, you know, like going down, mm-hmm. like maybe this is proof that three people should not own the entire internet.
Yeah, I saw something like that on Twitter.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, you know, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Proof of concept.
Like, you shouldn't, it's like if the entire country ran off of one bank. Like, oh, everybody, mm-hmm. everybody has Capital One. Everybody, you have to do banking. If you're in America, you have to bank with Capital One. And if something happened and Capital One's servers go down, it's like, okay, nobody can access their money right now. It's like, there's no reason that everything should run from one company.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Money.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so hopefully the internet fixes itself at some point. But
yeah.
Hopefully we'll still be here. Hopefully the podcast won't go anywhere.
We're on so many. We're, you know, we're really stretching out there. We'll be okay.
But to all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us this week. We love you, we appreciate you, and we hope to see you all for the next episode. Bye, everybody.
See ya.